Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comfort, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my praise. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you.
I will pray to you
in my secret place.
In my secret
place. For you are my everything.
For you are my everything.
Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are. Life, you step
Amen, amen. What a way to start the morning. Life, strength, joy, peace. Lord, you are our everything. You woke us up this morning, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning.
Good morning to you, my sister, and to all my brothers and sisters out there, and to Pastor O. Entire family. We're going to start our morning off with a scripture, and it's in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And it reads as follows. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with God, Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be equal to practice hospitality. Right now, we're going to do a short prayer. Bow your heads, please, and let's give thanks to the Lord. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you for this opportunity once again. Offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
A living sacrifice to God for all
yes,
he has done for us. Thank you, Deacon Reed. We appreciate you, and have a great day.
Yes, thank you, and peace and love to you and everyone else.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service, with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church, say.
That is why it is so important to read the Word of God. You need to know what God has said. Because, see, the world's voice gonna try to tell you something, and the devil and them, and I mean the devil and them demons, they're gonna be trying to tell you something just like they did Adam and Eve. Every time God says something, here they come with what they got to say. And then we gonna try to tell ourselves something, amen. But we need to know what the Lord has said, and then we can say, so be it. That's what amen means. Amen. So when the devil come talking to you, you need to be able to have something to say back to him. Because, you know, we can get to going through something like, you know, John the Baptist, you know, he got locked up because he kept telling Herod that he was wrong for his brother wasn't dead. And you know the rules, you couldn't marry your brother's wife unless, amen, he died. Well, his brother was all the way alive. He was all the way a whole man still, amen. And Herod had married his brother's wife, and John the Baptist was telling him that's wrong. So he got locked up, thrown in jail. He sent his, some of his disciples. Amen, with some of the disciples of Herod. And they went to Jesus, and they said, are you the one to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus didn't say, I'm the one who should come. You know what he did? He said, go back and tell John, blind folks are seeing, deaf folks is hearing, lame folks is walking, and dead folks is getting up out of the grave. That ought to tell you something right there. Amen. Sometimes we can get through going through hard times and we believe that God ain't able. Well, the Lord said, tell them, Pastor, I'm still able. Better ask somebody.
Many times in life we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today I want to remind you of the one that you do have and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt. Even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still in control.
It changed my perspective, and so
now the worry is over.
Yes.
And the doubt
reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you I can move on. Now the worry is over and the doubt is gone away.
You're not alone. Able. I've never faced anything like this before.
He's still able, able.
The odds are still in your favor, because
sometimes we need a reminder. And sometimes the Lord will allow us to go through some stuff so he can remind us. One thing, we already got the power to deal with it, or he wouldn't let it go through it. Hey, if God brought you to it, we say you can get through it, right? He'll take you through it. That means you got the power to deal with this. He just needs for us to know that we got the power to deal with this. Moses didn't know he had the power to part the Red Sea until God reminded him about the rod, the staff he gave him. He said, stretch that thing out against the Red Sea, and he did. And he stood there all night until the dawn broke, and then the sea parted. And then the same sea that rescued them, God used it to swallow up their enemies. You better hear me. Amen. Then they got into the wilderness where you can't even live because it ain't nothing to eat and ain't even no good water to drink. God told Moses, take that stick. Moses like, what you want me to do with it? He said, throw it in that bitter water, that marah. That means bitter. And guess what? The water got sweet. People didn't have nothing to eat in the middle of nowhere. God said, watch this, Moses, tomorrow when they wake up, and then he rained down something that looked like coriander seed. We call it manna, bread from heaven. Amen. They got to the wall, to the Sea of Jordan River. They was about to cross over into the Promised Land, but couldn't get across. Jordan River at flood stage. Jesus said, step your foot in there and praise me. What am I trying to tell you? They praised God for 6 days, once a day, and then on the seventh day, they praised him seven times, and then shouted a hallelujah praise, and guess what? The walls of Jericho fell. If you're going to bring God into your mess, if you want God to come in and show you what Jesus said we could do, when Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, guess what? You're going to have to learn how to do it, to bring that power of God there. And how? Like Paul and Silas did it. In your praise. Not your tripping, but your praise.
The saved in this place, and it is all over me. I feel the love of the saved, and I feel the spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship you. We worship you in our praise. Amen. All of us going through grief right now. Everybody's going through grief. And I used to talk with Sarah McClendon. Amen. James McClendon, Brother Deacon Sarah and James McClendon. And she was dealing with grief a lot, you know, working on it, trying to help folks with it. And all of us are going through grief right now. Some of us, amen, you know, in our praise is not in our denial. That's the first step of grief. Second step is anger, getting mad about it. In our praise is not being angry about what's going on. Amen. And then the third step is bargaining. How could I have made this not happen? How could I have changed this outcome? But that's not in our praise, amen. And then there's the fourth step where a whole lot of folks get stuck, and you can stay there for a long time. It's depression, amen. But that's depression is not a way to get God to move. Hearing our praise is not depression, amen, amen. But finally, the last step of the grief process is acceptance. And when we accept, and the Lord says, when you turn from and seek my, when the Lord says, if you believe, amen, and all things are possible to them who believe. And when we get to that acceptance step, amen, that's when we begin with our praise to change the atmosphere that we're in. If you don't like the atmosphere around you, like Paul and Silas did not like being chained to a wall with their feet in the stocks, sitting in a nasty, dirty dungeon, being fed on by rats. They didn't like that. They wanted to change that atmosphere. How did they change that atmosphere? You know what they did? They sang praises to God at midnight. And their praises, their worship, changed the atmosphere.
My praise is shifting. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it. It's moving. And it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving. It's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Yes, the shift in the atmosphere. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor, for those beautiful blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and truly encouraged. What a blessing. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Brother Deacon Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Couldn't have me. I thought about giving up. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Lead me. But the big thing in that song we just, when he said, show me your way, Lord. Show me your ways. You know, if you hear my voice right now, you do know that we're in the presence of the true and living God. And the song service up to now has let us know that God is real. God does exist, and he's here with us right now. If anybody out there right now, and I just got to say this, that doesn't believe that God just is real, before this service is over, I hope that you come to the realization that he's very real. He's very real. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He was here when we weren't here. He'll be here after we're not here anymore. But the great part about it is that as long as we're here, he's here. So what I need for you to do right now, whatever it is that you're taking to him, and I know this stuff kept you up last night, kept you up last week, kept you up all day yesterday. It's been worrying you. But I need you to take it to him and leave it with him. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I got to. You know, I love to talk about the scapegoat, if you don't know me. Back in when the children of Israel were going through the desert and they're headed to the promised land, they had to walk. But at the same time, they still took time to go to God and let them know what was going on with them. But a tent was raised, and inside the tent was a place called the Holy of Holies. And only the priest could go into there. Only the priest was able to go before God Almighty there. But what he used to do, he used to take a goat, and the people would tell him their sins, and he would pray all the sins of the people, put his hands on the goat, and put them into the goat. Then the goat would be let to go out into the desert. Well, sometimes this goat would come back. Now, can you imagine what it would be like if you went to God about something and talked to him about it, or told some, not so much God, not God, but told somebody else, and then all of a sudden you looked up and the same thing was coming back at you again? But when that would happen, what they would do, they would assign a man to the goat, and he would walk the goat out into the desert again. But just to make sure that goat wouldn't come back, they'd walk that goat off a cliff. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in man form, came here, and he put all his sins, each and every sin, past, present, and future, that we have carried, even the things that you're carrying right now, was on his shoulders when he went to that cross. And you know, when he went to the cross, it wasn't the fact that even though he did this, and he did, and he wanted to, but it was the love for us that Christ has that kept us on that, that kept him on that cross. It was the love for us that made him go to that grave, and he did die. But it was also the love of the Father and the Son that rose him up out of that grave, and this same Jesus is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for us right now. And he was seen by over 500 people. But what you got to understand too is that, like I said, sins past, present, and future, Jesus already knows. But just like the Father does, he wants to hear from you. Lord God, our Father, we thank you right now for allowing us into your presence. And Father, more than anything, we thank you for thinking of us a long time ago back in Genesis when you sat down and put all this in place. And you know, John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So that lets us know, just like you said in Genesis, let us make man. That lets us know that the Holy Spirit was there, Jesus was there, and you were there. And Father, we thank you for that aspect, because Father, what we have to come to praise you, and what we have to come to understand right now, Father, is that just like you told us in Peter, 2 Peter, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you would, I'm sorry, in Hebrews, you told us you would never leave us nor forsake us. You told us in Peter to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. But Father, first of all, we're just coming to you praising you with bowed heads and open arms, Father, because you see, you kept us from where we were to where we are right now. I love it, Father, when I think about the aspect, when I think about the fact, not the aspect, when I think about the fact, Father, that every night we lay down and go to sleep and we close our eyes and we have no idea as to when we close our eyes. And the only thing we know is when we wake up and maybe look at a clock. But for that certain period, Father, there's not anybody that doesn't close their eyes at some time and rest. From that period that we close them till we open them up again, you take care of us. Father, we thank you for never sleeping. We thank you for never getting tired. We thank you for always being there when we need you. And Father, right now there's some stuff going on in our lives where we need you. Some of this stuff is stuff that we came up with ourselves, Father. You know, we still get it wrong. We still sin, but you told us if we just confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to clean us up, and to clean us up. But Father, for the one right now, and I'm just not going to say the one, Father, each and every one of us, Father, there's not a person walking today that can say that they don't sin. You see, Father, because a lot of the sins we commit are not those with our hands. They start in our heads, Father. They start in our minds. When I think about the fact that it's them four voices, Father, that live in our inside of each and every one of us, the world's, the devil's, our own, and yours. Father, we got this tendency sometimes, Father, just to completely push yours to the side and go with the other three. But the worst one out of the bunch, Father, is our own. So, Father, we ask you to forgive us for coming up with some of the things that we come up with. And Father, we thank you that you don't throw us away, that you haven't just completely got rid of us, that you still say, okay, you messed up. I know you messed up, but we're going to do it again, and we're going to try to get it right. Father, right now for the one, and Father, you know better than anybody, better than anybody, what's going on in this world right now. Father, we got to pray for those people that are in India right now. It's a total mess going on over there. But Father, I heard somebody the other day that said that you didn't send the vaccine. And I just got to speak on this, Father, that said you didn't send the vaccine. Father, the same person I heard him earlier blame you for sending the virus. But Father, what they don't know, and Father, help them to understand that you said in your word that you would always provide a way out no matter what was going on in our lives. Father, when we look back when the children of Israel was in the desert, when the snakes came, the vipers, and they bit them, you put a snake on a pole and told them to look to this snake and live. So Father, let it be for those, and Father, even some of your children are doubting the vaccine. Father, I just got to speak on this personally and say, let it be that they open their eyes and their minds and their hearts and come to realize, Father, that there's nothing that goes on in this world that you don't control and that you put this here so that they might look and live, Father. You see, sometimes, Father, we get caught up in our own way of doing things, like I talked about a few minutes ago, in our own minds, and we come up with some of the craziest things. I mean, each and every one of us can stop and think about where some of them thoughts that we had took us, Father. So let it be that we draw near to you, because you say if we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. Let help us to understand, Father, that your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And our thoughts are just thinking sometimes, Father. I just got to say it. Lord, we also pray for those that have been hit by this disease, Father. You see, Father, sinners and saints are going home because of this. But we know too, Father, that you told us in John chapter 14 that you were going to go to a place and that you were going to prepare a place so we could be with you always. Your son came not so that we would just have life here, so that we would have eternal life, life that continues on from this place when we accept as our Lord and Savior and moves on to you where you are right now. And then we never have to go through this again. But while we're going through this, Father, you also told us to pray about everything. You told us not to worry about anything. And you told us to give thanks for all things, Father. Even when we're going through, Father, we have to thank you. Because like I just said, Father, and like you said, you've provided a way. So, Father, right now, make the way be known to those. Show yourself, Father, like you did for Elijah. Like you did for Elijah, Father, I think it's in 1 Kings chapter 19, right after he just had a great victory over the 700 prophets of Baal. Jezebel said, before the night falls, I'm going to kill him. And he took off and ran. But when he ran, Father, he didn't run away. You didn't leave him. When he ran, you found out where he was, laying by the tree, and you fed him. You let him get some sleep. And then you fed him again and let him rest again. But then you showed yourself to him. You told him. You said, I'm going to pass by. And when it first happened, Father, we had, I think it was the fire, the wind. A great wind came by, but that wasn't you. And then a big fire came past, but that wasn't you. And then all of a sudden, a still, quiet voice came and spoke. And when Elijah heard that voice, he got up. And he wrapped his cloak around his head, Father. And he went out because, you see, Father, you will make yourself known to us. So, Father, right now, my prayer is that you let yourself be known to those that say you don't exist. To say there is no God, because you see, we look at God as being something that we make up ourselves. In Isaiah chapter 44, when it talks about the man that goes out and get a piece of wood, and crazy as it might seem, and then he takes some of the wood, puts it in a fire. He takes some of the wood and maybe builds him another house. He does some other things with the wood, and then he sits down and carves an idol out, Father. Takes a piece of wood, put it on the table, and then bow down to it. And what this man fails to understand, Father, is that you make the wood. You've created everything, and everything was created by you. So, Father, let us skip the middleman and come back to you for everything. Yep, you told us we was going to have trials and tribulations in this world. You said things were going to happen, but you also told us to be of good cheer because you've overcome all of this. And Father, the great part about it, when we question whether or not you overcome, you made everything and you still making everything for us. We don't do anything for ourselves. So let it be right now, Father, that we come to understand that not just our hope, but our entire being is wrapped up in you. And the great part about it, Father, is that with you, it's all about us. Everything that you've done is all about us. The stars, the moon, the sky, trees, everything around us was created so that we would be able to have a place to commune with you. Even back to the garden, Father, you made it just for us. And then you made us. And if we could just ever come to understand, Father, that's all about the love that you have for us, the care that you have for us. Yeah, Father, right now, like I said, we got people that's losing people because of the disease that's going through. But, Father, it's not just a disease. People go home to be with you every day. But the wonderful part about it, Father, even if it happened, and Father, I'm not making light of those that lost someone right now, because there's someone right now that's burying their loved one. So, Father, all I ask right now is you just comfort them, that you just comfort them, just like you did for Elijah, that you just wrap your arms around them. Make sure they know that you're there. You see, Father, because you also told us in Hebrews chapter 12 that it's a great cloud of witnesses that has already went through all this. There are people that have gone on before us, Father. They can come back and get their testimony, but they're not coming back from heaven, because once you get there, Father, you don't want to come back here. But there are people that have gone before us, and some are still living. They can tell you, Esther, they can give you a long list of things that you've done for them. So, Father, help us to remember, because each and every one of us has been through something before, even though the thing that we face with right now seems to be gigantic. Help us to remember that we've been here before. There has been a time in our life when it seemed like everything was just completely caving in, but God. But God. And you came through for us then. But let it be too, Father, that we put it on our plate to start digesting and ingesting those things that you tell us to do, Father. Let it be that our will moves out of the way and what we want becomes what you want for us. Because, see, Father, you're not going to do things the way that we say do. You don't change. And you haven't changed from the beginning. So we have to come to understand that you're not going to change, but at the same time, you made all of this, just like you made us. Lord God, our Father, I thank you right now for the opportunity you've given me to talk to you. And I really do, Lord, because even in my life, sometimes I forget, but I have to remind myself that when everything just went completely crazy, my God, my God, let it be that we get personal and up close with you, Father, and not just to you, Father, but let it be that we take what we know to be fact, that my God lives, and that my God is alive, and that my God is the only true and living God, because you said in your word, you told me you'd be my God, and I would be your people. And for that, I thank you, Father. But right now, Father, comfort those. Comfort those. I don't know what the prayers are that's going up to you right now, Father. All I know is what you and I talk about. But, Father, I just ask that you ask and answer each and every one of your prayers. It's not a song. It's not a song. It's fact when it said that you're in the midst of everything, Father. And show yourself to them, Father, for that one that doubts. For that one that says you don't exist. Take the gun out the hand of the man that's sitting there right now saying he wants to end this life. And let him see that you have a better life for him. And Father, once again, for the one that's bearing a child right now. Because that's got to be the toughest thing in this world that you could possibly ever go through, Father. Let them know that that child, and we just hope and pray, Father, that they raise that child in the fear and admonition of you. But let it be that you know. Let them know that you know. And, Father, just like when David lost his son, and all the while that the son was still alive, David was in sackcloth and ashes. And when the son died, David got up and cleaned himself up and then said he wanted something to eat. And when people wondered, well, why are you eating now? And David told them, I may not be able to go where he may not be able to come back here to me, but the day is going to come where I'll be able to go to him. Father, help us to understand for that one that hasn't accepted you as Lord and Savior, God Almighty himself, Adonai, my Lord and my God, that they come to the realization that one day we're going to leave here and we're going to lose stuff while we're here. But everything that we hold dear, everything that we hold dear, if we're in you, it's going to be restored one day. Father, right now, once again, I thank you. I'm going to get up off my knees now, Lord. It's been good talking to you again. It's been so good to talk to you. But let it be, Father, that we just continue in this conversation. And not just me, Father, but each and every person that's listening right now. Talk to you on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minutely basis. Because, see, you don't just bend the ear. You listen. And you talk back. And the way that we can really talk to you, Father, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer. Thank you, Deacon Tate, for making our request known to God. We really appreciate you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
All right. All right. So far, we are having a great time. And I am enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God, icing on the cake, the best part. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. That's Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Let's prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
just you, Lord, in the midnight hour, Jesus.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. In the midnight hour, I need to hear from you. In the morning, in the noonday, all during the day, I need to hear from you, Lord. In the evening, in the midnight hour and after, in the wee hours of the morning, I still need to hear from you, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. But Father God, more than speaking to us, we need to hear you and do what you are telling us to do. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, my help, my redeemer, my hope. In Jesus' name. Good morning, Pastor Owen, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ family, Blog Talk Radio. Before I go any further, Father God, I want to say thank you and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. But Father God, we don't want to just say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. But Father God, there's many women out there that are mothers to children that they did not mother. And then there are mothers out there that never had a biological child. But Father God, we just thank you, not just for tomorrow, every day, for all mothers to do what you would have them to do and be. Last month, I would use this theme scripture for 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, King James translation. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. And we know that he had two names, Saul and Paul. And different than God allowed it to be in all other situations where he changed names, we had a definite point when their names were changed from Abram to Abraham, from Jacob to Israel, and so on. But Saul or Paul names go back and forth. So if I confuse you, believe me, it confuses me too sometimes. Saul's journey after his Damascus Road experience. Saul heard the voice of Jesus, and Saul asked, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, who thou art persecuting. And then Jesus told him, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. We often say we need a word from the Lord. So that song was very appropriate. We need a word from the Lord. Look at the Holy Spirit. We need a word from the Lord. How many know? We have plenty. It's 66 books of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We have plenty of words, 66 books of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. We know that God used Saul after his conversion in a powerful way, and the Jews wanted to kill him. Saul was lowered in a basket over a wall to safety one time. Acts 9:32-10 dealt with God's dealing with Peter's prejudice in a vision where a great sheet was let down and held on all four corners, and animals of all types was on that sheet. And God told him, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Then he was told to go and meet Cornelius. Today, I thought I would start at Acts chapter 20 after preaching last month on this subject. But after rereading and studying several chapters of Acts, I'm not starting at chapter 20, Acts 11, 25 to 26, New King James translation says, then Barnabas departed for Tarshish to seek Saul. So Barnabas just didn't do what God told him to do one time and leave Saul alone. He went and sought Saul in Tarshish. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many. They did it. Barnabas and Saul. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. My subject today, I kept my faith in great opposition. I kept my faith in great opposition. I've read through Acts, I've listened to Acts, and I have failed to read or hear anywhere in the scripture where Saul lost his faith or his zeal for God. Eventually, Saul would give his testimony in the book of Acts, I believe it's three times. Haven't gotten there yet. Listen for it. Acts 11:28, New Living Translation, Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. The believers in Antioch sent relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea by Barnabas and Saul. These believers also worshiped and prayed to God. And they were told by the Holy Spirit, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. New American Standard. They laid hands on them and sent them away for that work. And that, you know, right away after being prayed over, hands being laid on them and all, they met a false prophet named Bar-Jesus and a proconsul named Sergius Paulus, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But there was another guy named Elymas, the magician, who opposed them and sought to get the proconsul away from faith in Jesus. But Acts 13:9-10 says, New Living Translation, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. That filling is important. Not the indwelling, the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is important because now of God. And he looked at the sorcerer in the eye. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Verse 10, then he said, you son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud and enemy of all that's good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? That was a powerful question that Saul, known as Paul, asked him. Saul then went on to tell him he would be struck blind just as he had been struck blind seeking to go to Damascus. Elymas began groping and begging for someone to take him by the hand and take him away. God had just used Saul to do what he had already experienced. Acts 13:12, New Living Translation says, when the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. So he saw him being struck blind and having to be led away. But he, more importantly, he heard the preaching and the teaching of the word. Who will be struck by what we have to say about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God knows our past and will send people like us to minister to them. Paul and Barnabas went on to Antioch of Pisidia. They were asked to bring a word of encouragement. That's powerful in itself, because everywhere they went, there were Jews that was open to the word, and there were Jews that were not. Acts 13:16 says, New Living, so Paul stood his hand to quiet them and started speaking. And he said, men of Israel, he said, and you God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. Paul went on to tell their history from Egypt up to Jesus' death on the cross. Acts 13:32-33, New Living Translation says 32, and now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestors. Our ancestors go all the way back to Abraham. Oh, praise the Lord. And 33, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This is what the second Psalm says about Jesus. So he went on to even tell them about what had been written in Psalms 2 and how it related to Jesus. And then he said, brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim through Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. And when he said that, brothers, listen, I couldn't help but remember what Ananias said to him. He said, brother Saul, receive your sight. Powerful meeting. They were leaving the synagogue, and people asked them to come back to the next service. That following week, the entire city came to hear. Some Jews got jealous and stirred up trouble once again. Paul and Barnabas preached with the same results in Iconium. They preached with great power, but some Jews poisoned the minds of some of the people. Paul and Barnabas stayed there and preached with power, signs, and miracles in Iconium. But still, there were some Jews that stirred up trouble. And then there were some that planned to stone them. So they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding areas. Stephen had did the same thing and Saul stood there and witnessed. Now those same Jews were ready to stone him and these other believers. But you know, Paul didn't stop. Or Saul. Paul did not stop. Because he healed a man who was born crippled in Lystra. And then those people wanted to call them gods with a small g. Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and told them they were merely humans like you and me, and continued to preach Jesus Christ to them. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and stirred up trouble once again. This time, they really did stone Paul. They dragged him out of the city or the town and left him for dead. But God had work for Paul to do. So he didn't meet the feet that Stephen did as he stood there and witnessed and agreed to Stephen's stoning. He was drugged out of town and thought was dead. But God allowed the brethren and the brothers and sisters to come around him. And I'm quite sure they were praying. And Paul got up. The next day, Paul and Barnabas left for Derbe. Paul and Barnabas continued to strengthen the faith of believers across the region, appointed elders in many churches, and with prayer and fasting, they released those elders to the Lord. How many of us would be stoned and we would continue preaching and strengthening the faith of other believers? Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch and reported the great work God had done. Jewish men came and insisted that the Gentiles be circumcised to be saved. We have the same thing today. People have all kind of doctrines of what it takes to be saved. Refer you back to Romans 10, 9, and 10. And then you can read on down verse 13, and it tells you there what we must do to be saved. And yes, some people even teach that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. But that's not true, because Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." But we are a true believer, and we have accepted and confessed our belief in Jesus Christ and have repented of our sins. We already are saved. But then we should follow through with the baptism. Being immersed in the water symbolizes us being buried with Jesus and being raised back up with God. Amen. Paul and Barnabas disputed the fact that these Gentiles needed to be circumcised. Even with some Pharisees agreeing that they needed to be circumcised, Paul and Barnabas stood their ground, and they went on to Jerusalem and met with the other brethren and discussed this matter. And James, the brother of Jesus, who was the head of the council, spoke up, and he said, "Don't make things too difficult for the Gentiles." In Acts 15:20 NIV, he said, "Abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood." And then before Paul and Barnabas left, they decided to send some other brothers with them. Judas called Barsabbas and Silas went to Antioch with them. They had a written letter from the brethren stating what their doctrine was. And it encouraged and brought hope to the people. But how many know? Judas and Silas, look at God, were prophets. And they said much to encourage the people. Paul and Barnabas had worked well together. Both wanted to go back to the towns they had preached in and encourage the brothers, or encourage the brethren, encourage the Jews and the Gentiles that had been saved because of their preaching and their teaching. And look out, here comes a problem. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul did not. Why didn't Paul want him to go? John Mark had deserted them before in Pamphylia. And this resulted in a sharp dispute. Listen to the words they said in the Bible. This resulted in a sharp dispute. Ain't no sharp things cut you. So Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul took Silas through Caesarea and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Did you hear what happened? Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul took Silas to Caesarea and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They disagreed, but the work of ministry continued. Today, disagreements and often stop the work of God. In Acts 16:16, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young man named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Paul arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they started on their missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas had disputed with the Gentiles about being, with the Jews about Gentiles being circumcised. Why the change? Or what Timothy would be preaching to Jews first? Timothy was Jew. He was a Jew and a Greek. He was a mixed race. But you know, he was recognized as a Jew. Jesus often went against the rules and traditions of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his time. We will be bound to go against some traditions and ways of the church even in our time today. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit to know what he wants. Timothy's preaching would circumcise the Jews' hearts. Acts 16:6 says the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. And even a split with Barnabas and Paul, they still listen to the Holy Spirit. God can use anything for his good and his work. The split caused them to be in two different places, preaching the gospel, and souls were saved. The work went on, church. A word for us today. Even in disputes, disagreements, and if it comes to a sharp dispute, the work must go on. Who will hear from the Lord and who will continue the work? God will work with us, he will work through us, and in some cases, in spite of us. Hearing the Holy Spirit, a word came and it said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Lydia, a merchant of purple, and her household believed and were baptized. Paul and Silas were put in jail after he had cast a demon out of a girl that had been following them for days and telling everybody to listen to these men. But she was not prophesying this from the Lord. And Paul discerned it and cast the demon out of her. And because of it, they were put in jail. And we know. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. An earthquake shook the foundations of the jail,
The chains came off and the doors were open. The jailer entered thinking all the prisoners were gone, and he wanted to kill himself. Paul shouted, "Stop, we all here." And then he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" The jailer and all of his household were saved. A challenge for us today. Their house, they were saved, and then all of their household were saved first. Paul and Silas went on to Thessalonica, preached three Sabbath days. Some Jews were persuaded and listened, and many Gentiles also. Once again, jealous Jews entered the picture and caused trouble. They went to the home of Jason looking for Paul and Barnabas, dragged them, and when they couldn't find them, they dragged Jason and the other believers out and before a Jewish council and said, "These men have turned the world upside down, have come here." And then the council heard the complaint and allowed Jason and those other believers to pay their bond, and they were released. Paul and Silas went on to Berea from there. The people were more open to hearing the gospel. We always have to be open to hearing the word. We have to be open to the word that is taught. But we also have to be open to studying and reading for ourselves and asking God for revelation. The believers, let me back up. Paul and Silas went to Berea, and people were more open to hearing the gospel. Many Jews, prominent Greek men and women, believed, but certain Jews came again and stirred up trouble. Satan doesn't have any new tricks. Satan has the same old tricks, and he comes with lies, and he comes to deceive us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't fall for the lies, the deceit, and the tricks of Satan. The believers sent Paul away immediately to the coast. Silas and Timothy stayed behind, awaiting their instructions, and continued to preach and teach. Paul went on to Athens and debated with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Paul challenged their religion, shrines, and even their altar. They had an altar that said to an unknown God. That said to an unknown God. Look at God. They already have an altar to the unknown God. And here comes Paul teaching and preaching to them Jesus, who was unknown to them. And then some wanted to hear more. Others rejected his teaching, and some were even saved. Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damarius, also believed, according to Acts 17, God used a former persecutor of the church, Saul. God used Paul and Silas. God used Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas and caused a break between them. But you know, many of us have deserted God in our daily lives, at home, at work, at or at play, and in many other situations that we're involved in throughout our days and lives. God used Timothy, who was a Jew and a Gentile. And God is waiting to use you and me. God is waiting to use us. We have to come to the point that Saul came to when he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Hebrews 10:23. Some people say Paul wrote Hebrews, some say he didn't. Well, either way, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. We need who have an ear, let us hear the work of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brother Preacher, you know, as I was sitting here listening to you, and it's what the Lord's been talking to me and what the whole service was about anyway, learning how to praise God in the midst of, I kept my faith in the face of opposition. And I love how you went to all those instances in Paul's life where Jesus told him, you're going to have to suffer a lot for my name's sake. And we get to see a person who wrote 13 books of the Bible, very much beloved by the Lord, got the chance to go up to the third heaven and look around and then come back down here and go through all that. But you know what? He knew. My wife's grandmother used to pray in her prayer during prayer meeting. She would say, Lord, I've come too far to turn around now. I want to run on, see what the end's going to be.
Amen.
I learned a lot.
Jesus told him his end on the Damascus Road, and then he had it prophesied to him later on in the book of Acts that I'll probably get to next month.
Amen. I was going to get on it, but I ain't going to say nothing. I'm gonna wait till next month when you go to Acts chapter 20. Amen.
And
somebody
God
who know what they're going to go
say
through.
Say something different.
Lord have mercy. Amen. Hold on, preacher, and we'll bring you back for some closing words. Hey, y'all, we are in this world, and guess what? The devil don't like it, and he don't like us. Amen. But as long as we keep in our praise, and as long as, you know, like Pastor Terrence preached and talk about all the time, I never lost my faith, amen, in spite of all that we go through and all this opposition that we go through, we want to have the same testimony that Paul had. I fought a good fight, amen, I kept the faith, and now I'm ready to be laid up, amen, to receive. I'm ready to be offered up to receive everything I was down here fighting for. Amen. Hey, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life so that you can have the kind of faith that you can keep in the face of some, and Satan and them demons, that's, they're not playing. We play church all the time, but they are not playing. They are super serious about what they're doing. You heard the preacher say that Satan is around here from John 10. Go read it. John 10 and 10. Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. And see, some of the times we think that's talking about physical death. No, he want to kill your plans to get your neighbor saved. He want to kill your plans to get your children saved, to get your wife or your husband saved. Amen. He wants to steal the joy that God has given you. He don't want you to wake up in a world that's all tore up and be happy. He don't want you sitting in no Philippian jail singing praises to God at midnight. He wants you to hang your head. Amen. And he wants to destroy anything that you've tried to create. He wants to destroy your personal life, your family life, your church life, and your civic life. That's what he does. But guess what? Jesus came that you might have life to the full, overflowing, and in great abundance. Amen. Preacher got me a little stirred up just a little bit. Amen. I want you to pray this real simple prayer with me, and you can find it on our church website. Amen. It's how do you make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's how you get what God intended for you to have before the world and all this stuff got all messed up. And all you have to do is pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord God, creator of all mankind, I'm an admitted sinner in need of salvation. Today I confess my sins and place my faith in Jesus Christ for my salvation. Lord God, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and I want to welcome you to the family Yes, you just got a family that's 250 billion strong. Amen. Amen. Now, on that page, it also gives you six characteristics of a Bible-based church, because now you need to grow up so you can keep the faith. Faith is knowing what God said and then standing at standing time and not stooping, standing in the face of opposition. That's what faith is for. But for you to understand how that works, go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Salvation Prayer, and on that page you'll find six characteristics of a Bible-based church. Read them, internalize them, and then go out, search for that church, amen, and join it. Now, until you find one, you can join up with us here at Run for Christ Ministries. All you need to do is hit contact and tell us you want to join up with us, amen, and we'll take care of it after that. And you can, while you're waiting on a Bible-based church or searching for one, we have over 1,200 Bible classes and worship services that you can avail yourself of 24/7, 365 for free. On that same, on our church website, rfcm.org, just click on Bible classes and then click on Blog Talk Radio Player, and you're there, amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Welcome to the family, my brother, my sister in Christ Jesus. Wow, Crystal. Oh, you must have a Holy Ghost hoop on you this morning. I feel like you got a Holy Ghost hoop on you.
I do not.
You had a Holy Ghost hoop.
I do not.
You lost your Holy Ghost hoop. You done lost your Holy Ghost
hoop. Yeah, my Holy Ghost hoop is taking a nap. It's
you
got to
get your Holy Ghost.
Where
Deacon Reed at when you need him? Wow.
Right when you need him. Oh, man, oh, man. I miss hearing that on Sunday service. Just Lord, and you know, jumping around. Like, you know, the visuals we used to get in person were just amazing, you know. So I just have to hope that you are, when you preaching and you really getting into it, that you might just be, you probably preach sitting down. I kind of can see you pacing back and forth at home when you're preaching. I don't know. Do you preach sitting down at home or you preach standing up, moving around, walking around?
I'd be tearing this chair up. I'd be all over this thing. I'd be all over it because I'd be tearing it up. It don't even know how to act. The chair was talking to me one day and said, why don't you stand up and preach? You just tear
just
me
get up.
Amen.
Yes, just get up and move around.
Right. You, say, you got me rolling and sliding and tilting. I ain't supposed to tilt. That ain't what I do.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. We miss in person. We miss being in person with everybody, you know, and just hearing people laugh. And then I know for those who get on and, you know, and preach on Blog Talk, you know, you miss the interaction that you have. You know, our mics are not open, obviously, on Blog Talk Radio when someone is, you know, preaching. But it's just, you know, I know it's kind of hard because you guys are bringing us a word. And I know me personally, like, if I was a preacher, I am not a preacher. I'm not going to be a preacher. But if I was somehow a preacher,
well, you know,
okay, let me just put
that
disclaimer out there.
Right.
That's why I said that. I know that's why I said that. But I would need some type of validation or just to know that people are with me, you know, and agree with me. And I know when y'all are looking out, I know sometimes you say, oh, Lord, it got quiet in here. Oh, Lord, look at y'all faces, you know, but you guys don't see that. So, I mean, it really is. I can only imagine the feeling that
you know what, Crystal?
People just, I don't know.
You know how the Lord worked that out for me? What he did was one day in a vision, he stood me up in front of him, Jesus, and of course the Holy Spirit was in me and mm-hmm. outside of me, and he mm-hmm. turned me from them toward the earth, and he said, now speak on my behalf. And so I felt like the whole earth was my audience, because that's what he's done with Blog Talk Radio. He's made the whole earth our audience, and ever since then, because it was horrible at first, because you know me, I snake walk and everything else.
Oh, we need that.
You know, and you can't do none of that on Blog Talk Radio. You look crazy.
No.
So only people who have seen that could say, oh, I know what he's doing. That's the snake walk.
Yes.
He's walking like the snake in the garden. That's the snake walk. Or the bum rush, you know, like when they was taking Jesus. You know, you can't say they bum rush Stephen, you know, had him all
yeah,
bum
all
rush.
Of that. Yeah.
But you can't see that.
It's the visuals for me. It's the visuals for me, you know, but those of us that run for Christ Ministries, we've seen it. And so when we hear, you know, different people preach, like we kind of envision you guys still up, you know, in the pulpit, so to speak, and just, you know, giving us all of that. So we just kind of, you know, make it just that more, I don't want to say entertaining, but you know, entertaining, and it just livens up because you. I, like I said, I know I will personally need to see some heads shaking and people to you know, for you to know that people are getting it and people are clicking with you, and you guys don't have that. So, look, kudos to all of y'all who have to come on here and preach. You know, teaching is one thing because when you're on here teaching and you're in a class, you have more than one person. I know we get nervous sometimes because when you open up microphones and we don't quite hear nobody, we like, Jesus, we going to be teaching this class ourselves? Okay, no problem. I'll get out here, read the questions, read the answers. We can be done in 20 minutes and get in and get out, you know. But so we look for that. But when you guys are on here preaching, you don't get any of that. And so like you say, you have to kind of just envision your audience. And I know when the Lord told you, you said he told you to just turn away from me and just preach to the whole earth, I'd have probably passed out. Like, what you mean? I thought I was
right,
just talking to y'all.
Right, that really changed it.
Wait a minute.
All of a sudden, I ain't want to see nobody no more.
No, like, nobody.
A lot of people
right.
looking at me. Yes. And when they get mad, they ain't going to throw nothing to heaven. They're going to throw it at me.
At me, right. But the beauty of it is like you said, that's exactly what Blog Talk Radio has done. The world is our audience. And like I've said before, we will never really know truly the individual people that we reached with Blog Talk Radio, something that started off so small and it was only supposed to be for those who couldn't make it out to classes and services at Run for Christ Ministries in person. Now the whole world knows who Run for Christ Ministries are. We know it's like we're just like a prestigious university that no matter where you go on earth, people know if you mention your school, where you from. That's who we are, Run for Christ Ministries. We are known
Jesus
around the world. We are international.
He told me.
He sure didn't, because he knows you'd have been like,
this
no,
is just
I can't
for Running for Christ. And the next thing I know, I got people from England sending me emails yeah. talking about, keep up the good work, Pastor O. I'm
see?
Like, who are you?
See?
I what you call us over in England? I'm like, okay.
That's beautiful.
How did
see,
you get
it's
here?
Beautiful. It's
and
right.
I got
so
off
see,
and told
God
Jesus, told. So now you got me worldwide, huh? You told me this was from
Amen.
Running for Christ Ministries. He said, well, stupid, it was on the internet. What did you think?
What did you expect?
I didn't know that.
You know, it's all right. It's a beautiful thing. It has really, really, and I'm going to transition into these announcements
yeah.
so Elder Joe can come back. But, yeah, it has been a really beautiful thing. Blog Talk Radio, I never thought that I would ever be a part of something so magnificent. I just wanted to go to church. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I hadn't had a church home for a long time, and then I get to Run for Christ Ministries, and I'm at home, and so I never thought that I'd be a part of something that was going to be doing all that, you know?
And all of a sudden, boom.
And all of a sudden, I remember you came to me that one Sunday, like, you going to be the church secretary. I'm like, wait, what? Who told you that? Jesus said, no, I went then when you told me I was going to be a deacon. I said, wait, what? No, Jesus. No. Jesus asked me to go. I
and
have
not yet
put you up all of my time, and here we are teaching. What? Never. You know, so it really is a beautiful thing when you let God use you. I don't know that I intentionally let God use me, but, you know, he has his way of making people do what he needs them to do. So, you know, here we are. And so it's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to do these announcements so Elder Joe can come back on. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who are tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship services. It has been a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. We always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour today with Elder Joe Stevens. You know, that's my cardinal. I have to keep elevating him, but I haven't quite looked at what's higher than the cardinal in earthly terms, so I have to look that up so that I can, you know, promote him again. You know, the word, always awesome, always on time. He's always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord, and so we thank him for his faithfulness, his consistency, and his obedience. And we pray that those who listened were blessed in some way by what you heard today. Amen? Amen. So Run for Christ Ministries, we know. The physical, sad, lonely, depressed building is still located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. As we know, our Bible reading class is held here on Wednesdays on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Deacon Oliver Welch will be going into a new book teaching, First Chronicles, chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed. They are also available for you online on our church website. Just go to rfcm.org. Under Bible classes, you will find them there. Also, as a reminder, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, which we know is Pastor O's brother, is on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and preaching in his series, Training Day. Set yourself a reminder each week to tune in on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. He's got his own hour. And trust and believe, if your brain was intact when you first started listening, your brain will be all over the room when you're done, because he is so full and so powerful, and it's so much information, and it really is a blessing to hear. So please make sure you tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen? Amen. So tomorrow is Sunday, and it's May 9th, and it is Mother's Day. Amen? So we will be having our Mother's Day worship service beginning at 9:30 a.m., as always, with our Sunday school with Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate as our teacher for 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we will continue on into our service beginning at 10 a.m. For our Sunday Mother's Day service with Pastor Janine Folks, bringing us a beautiful Mother's Day word. Now, I had banned her the last couple times she preached. The last service she preached a couple weeks ago, like, I was just like, okay, Jesus, well, we don't even need Blog Talk Radio no more. Jesus has preached the sermon of the century. But, of course, you know, we still need to hear the word. We're still here, so praise God. She will be bringing us a beautiful Mother's Day word on tomorrow. So please make sure you tune in beginning at 9:30 a.m. on tomorrow. Amen? Amen. So, as a reminder, the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., now until November 1st, through Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O and anyone else who wants to join in, will be out in front of RFCM praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversations with people. There's a bus stop right in front of the church, and that's usually where the setup is. Pastor sent some pictures from the one that happened at the end of April. So if you didn't see those, I think he might have put them on the website. I know he sent emails with them. It was really a beautiful thing to see. So if you're able to come on out, please do. Again, it's the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Amen? Amen. And as Pastor did say, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. RFCM.org is the place for you to go. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and like you said, over 1,200 classes there, again, all for free. So use them to grow in your Christian life. There is, I mean, if you go back to the beginning, I mean, even Pastor O himself, like, just everybody has grown from listening to Blog Talk, from when he started to where he is now. I mean, it's amazing. So use it to help you grow in your Christian walk. Download them for yourself and share them with others. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, they are for free. Amen. If you want to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member and you want to pay any tithes or give any additional offerings, again, rfcm.org is where you'll be able to do that at. All the information you need to do that will be available for you. We want to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Running for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. Because of your continuous support, of course, we have outreach ministries that we assist, and we've already given our first installment to all of our outreach ministries: Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. Amen. We know that these ministries do a lot all year round in different capacities to help people. So we praise God for you. God bless you, and we thank you. Any more info that you need for our outreach, of course, church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. And then if you want to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Elder Joe Stevens, church website, rfcm.org, is where you do that. Under offerings, you can just make a notation for who the gift of love is for, and it will be passed on accordingly. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Now, we've been commanded to seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for all of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 say, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we ask your prayers for all those who are sick, shut in, one another, and of course yourself, our children, my children, your children, they children, all the children, our nation, our world, all of our leaders on every level, those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. Amen. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John McFall. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone, to places where you wouldn't normally go in today's time, and to the ends of the earth. And those are places that you never thought you'd go. But guess what? They need the word of God, too, and it's our job to spread the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that no souls are left behind. Amen? Amen. So 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 reads, Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. Now, we know literally it was sheep back in the day, but what do you today offer up to God in place of your obedience to him? Is it work, family, kids, status in life, social media, money, whatever it is, that's your sheep in today's time. So if God asks you to plant a seed, then plant a seed. If he asks you to water the seed, then water the seed. Whatever you have to give up to do what God asks is nothing in comparison to the blessings you will receive by being obedient. Amen. Obedience is the key. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. So when you are sad or brokenhearted over the loss of a friend or loved one and you're grieving, and we know that grief has many different steps, or even with the loss that we see, hear, read about all over the world, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. And with all that being said, we do have a bereavement announcement. We are so very sorry to announce the passing of Sheila Overall's aunt, Lucille Smith. There will be a strolling walkthrough at OH Pie Funeral Home on this Wednesday, May the 12th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Again, there's a strolling walkthrough, OH Pie Funeral Home, on this Wednesday, May the 12th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Due to COVID, there is a limit on the family of 25 people for the funeral service itself. However, there will be a live streaming of the service on Thursday, May the 13th at 12 noon, and you can go on the OH Pie Funeral Home website to participate in the streaming service, again, on Thursday, May 13th at 12 noon. Amen. Please keep Sheila, Pastor O, and her family in your thoughts and in your prayers. I know she was very, very close to her aunt. So we need to just keep them all lifted up in prayer. Amen. Amen. So we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We know that blessings are not always in the form of money or things, and we know that a smile or a kind word goes a long way, but the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of sunshine to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen. Just imagine that. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is a new month, the month of May. We just got through the first full week of May. So happy birthday to everybody who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today. We've got two birthdays this month at Run for Christ Ministries. Joyana, she celebrates her birthday today. Happy birthday to her. Today is her birthday, May the 8th, and I don't care if I get beat up, but I'm going to say his birthday all month long, Deacon Rayfield Rogers. He will be celebrating his birthday on May the 19th. We love him, and happy, happy birthday to him. Amen? Amen. So, got a devotional for you. Y'all know this is the year of devotions. Amen? Amen. So, apparently last Thursday was National Day of Prayer, but we all know that we can't just pray on one day. If you belong to Jesus, the only way to get through life is to pray. We know that prayer is simply talking to God, so we should be doing that a lot, not just on one day of the year. Amen. Amen. But this is a devotional that says, "A Prayer for Our Nation," and it's by Debbie McDaniel. "Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 19. So in 1952, President Harry Truman signed a bill into law making the National Day of Prayer for America an annual event on the first Thursday of May, encouraging millions across our nation to unite together to pray. We've come a long way since that day, and now, maybe more than ever, our nation needs our continued prayers for God's healing, health, and peace. Yet sometimes it's hard to know where to begin or how to pray. We just know we have a deep ache in our hearts that cries out for God's mercy and a longing to see him heal our land. And maybe other times we wonder how effective our prayers even are. But no matter how we feel, confident that God is faithful, he is aware, and his spirit is at work all over that swirls around us in our nation today. That same power that broke prison chains, raised Lazarus from the dead, and parted the Red Sea, the same power that healed the blind man and delivered the delirious from demons, that same power is at work still today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we stand together as believers and pray for God to heal our land and strengthen his people. May we pray for all those in authority. May we pray for God's miraculous intervening, for blind eyes to be opened, for many to see the power of our Lord as never before. We are never left to fend for ourselves, wrestling in worry, consumed with fear, or driven towards hate. He reminds us that he is with us. He will help us, and he hasn't lost control, but he has a plan, and his purposes will prevail. We can be assured that he hears our prayers and he knows our needs. There's great power in uniting together, turning our hearts towards God, and praying on behalf of America, our nation. At this important time in our nation's history, we can do nothing more important than pray, remembering today this powerful truth upon which this nation was founded. We are one nation under God. He is where our real hope is found, not in our leaders, not in our community, not in the condition of our nation today or any other day. My hope comes from him, and that's Psalm 62, verse 5. So we have a prayer for our National Day of Prayer, which we're going to say it's today because we're going to say it's every day. Amen. So, dear God, Thank you for your great power. We praise you for your truth. We're grateful that you have set us free from the clutching grasp of sin and death. Would you be with your people, extending your grace, granting your freedom, providing your protection, and empowering with your strength? We ask that you bring about an awakening of your presence to America as never seen before. We ask that your name be proclaimed, that all plans to the name of Jesus will be thwarted and crushed. We pray that many would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that many would see your light, that you would open blind eyes and release those still imprisoned. We pray that you would unify your people for the glory of your name, that all who call themselves Christians will rise up believing in your great truth. Wake us up, Lord. Remind us to live aware, to redeem the time, to listen to your words, and to be willing to make a difference in this land. We pray for all those in authority that you will give them your wisdom and discernment as they lead. We ask that you would appoint strong, faithful men and women to serve this nation and our people. We pray for your great healing in America. Shine your face on us, dear God. We need you now more than ever before. Our times are in your hands. Thank you that you are rich in mercy and full of grace, that you are forgiving and merciful. Thank you that you are strong and mighty. Thank you that you are for us and that you fight for us still today. Bring honor to your name, O Lord, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And from Pastor O and the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, we wish each and every mother a happy Mother's Day on tomorrow. Amen, amen, and those are your announcements.
Amen, and I receive it because I believe
praise
it.
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Brother Preacher said they them both went crazy.
Ooh,
amen.
Well.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well. Well, but you know,
I love you, Todd.
I was listening to what you said, and I was real comfortable once I almost got comfortable with teaching at Mount Zion. God used me to teach at Pine Grove. He used me to teach at Upper Center of Worship. And in between that time, some guy named Pastor Gerald Overall called me and asked me to preach on the fifth Saturdays of the month on the Blog Talk Radio. And I wasn't comfortable. And then it switched from the fifth Saturday of the month to the second Saturday of the month. And I really wasn't comfortable. And I know there's someone on here named Crystal. He said in his word, don't look at their faces. Preach the word in season and out of season. You know, neither one of us was comfortable, were we, Pastor?
No.
Now, God is using us to do what he's using us to do. So that's just a word to the wise. He who has an ear, let them hear. You know, from teaching to preaching. Hello. From
you,
announcement
to preaching. Reverend.
From teaching to preaching. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And don't want to be called Jonah or talk like Jonah. Amen. That's
like
all I
you
got
be to using the word. You be using the word on me. That's not fair. You ain't fighting fair. You be using the word all upside my head. Lord have mercy.
I'm quite sure he used people to use the word on Pastor O and myself.
Hello. Yeah, he got Pastor Hill got me. He the one got me.
Yeah, Pastor
Blaine, man.
Pastor
get
Smith.
This.
Got me at a funeral at Union Second.
I was going down 15th Street, headed toward Visitor to do dirt, and this blind man came out of Moorlight being led by somebody, and the blind man pointed at me and said, "There go the next preacher." I looked back. I wasn't nowhere near saved. Okay, so you can imagine what I said back. And then next thing you know, before that year was over, I'm preaching.
grew up for
Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, quick, goodbye.
There's another scripture that says you can run, but you can't hide.
Can't hide. Praise the Lord.
Can't. Amen. Can't.
Love you, Crystal. Oh, you ready to go now?
We love you.
Yes, I
but
quit.
You ain't gonna have. You ain't gonna have real peace till you stop running.
She go.
That's all right. Gotta tell her. Here you, somebody else. She's been running
Amen.
Hard for over a year and a half. She ought to be tired.
She getting there. All right, brother preacher, give us a word, and amen, we can get on with this Saturday.
Well, I just want to go back to the subject for today. I kept my faith in great opposition. And, you know, we count a lot of things as opposition and trials and tribulations that don't even come close to what many of the apostles and disciples went through in the early day church, in the first century church. So we need to wake up and look at some of that and work for God.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Appreciate you.
Bless you.
Tell Cheryl and the fam, I said, hey, 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 we send our love.
All right. Come to think about it, tell Sister Sheila that I'm praying for her. Her aunt was a beautiful woman. She lived next door to me for a few years on Liddesdale until we moved on the corner and stuff. So she was always kind and always, you know, spoke, you know, and was just kind to me. And I will always remember for that. Even when she would be up there walking at Council Park, she just was herself.
Amen. 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 Sheila, baby Holy Ghost, say thank you.
All righty. Bless you.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for everybody. Say what?
Doing what
say what,
do
preacher?
Too. I ain't going to mess with her right now. Just tell her keep on doing what she's doing, and we're praying for her.
I sure will.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for everybody. We pray that you remember the word that in this world, as we go through for Jesus, right, we keep our faith in the face of great opposition. We down here operating behind enemy lines. As we parachuted in, we got born again, and Jesus blew us right behind enemy lines, and that's where we're going to serve until we get up out of here. So we're going to face opposition every single day. And the more you walk for Jesus, the Bible says those who would live holy shall suffer persecution. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I've already overcome the world. And you know the Holy Spirit in us is greater than Satan and all them demons in this world. Amen. We got it. Why don't we live like it? See y'all when we see you.
DMJ!
I got it, I got it.
You've been with me through. throne, he's right beside me. Hold my hand in a valley, lock a knife on me. I don't know where I will be. Need him, he's a rider. All my haters, you know he be fine.